Peace and love, family. Welcome to another episode of Carbon Culture Radio. Yeah, it's your girl, Akasha, aka Bella. And I appreciate you guys for joining me tonight. So I know that I've been out for a while. I think I missed last week. But I promise you guys that things are going to change. I'm going to be here more often with you guys. But as many of you know, those who follow me on social media, I had to take a break from social media. Like, social media, like, can be so draining. Especially, like, on the page that I had. Very negative and draining. So I had to, you know, take a break and just cleanse my aura and refocus, you know. And during that time, I just been thinking of different ways that I can expand my brand and my podcast, and in different ways that I can put it on a bigger platform. So with that being said, I do want to come and talk to you guys more often throughout the week versus just one time a week on a variety of different topics versus just, you know, spiritual consciousness or whatever. Like, I want to touch on entertainment. I want to touch on the good, the bad, the ugly, all that stuff. I don't want to focus on the bad and the ugly too much. I just want to shed light on it and, you know, offer my perspective of a solution, because the only way that the whole point of being woke is to heal and to build. And if we're not going to identify the illness, how can we heal? If we're not going to recognize that there's destruction or something, yeah, destruction, how can we reconstruct what's been destroyed? So, and rebuild what's been destroyed. So, my point is to just shed light on the bad parts of what's going on, and, you know, just talk to y'all, offer a perspective and get your guys' perspective on solutions. So, you know, yeah, I don't know if you guys, like, I've been on my other page, and if you don't follow me on that page, please go follow me. Is Bella Fairman on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram at lalababy25, and yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm on Twitter too, but I don't be on Twitter that much, but I'm gonna start being on Twitter more. But you guys can definitely follow me on Twitter, which is lalababy25 as well. And go like my business page, Carbon Culture, CCL, or just Carbon Culture. I think it's just Carbon Culture on Facebook. That's my business page. Please go like it if you haven't. I post a lot on there. And, yeah, you guys. That's where we at with that. So, on my social media, like I was saying, I had posted I had shared a post about a 15-year-old boy who had been murdered in my city, which is Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And he was murdered. He was missing for a week. The police thought that he was a runaway, so they didn't really look for him. And then when his mother, you know, kept going, you know, complaining about her son missing, they finally found him, but the news didn't really report it. It was just like, he's no longer considered missing, right? So, and this is why I said I want to do something different with this, because they didn't report what happened to that baby. They was just like, oh, he's no longer considered missing. They didn't say he was returned safe home. They didn't say, he's no longer considered missing because he has been murdered or none of that, which the baby had been murdered. 15-year-old baby had been murdered over a video game by an adult, by a 21-year-old man and a boy that the 15-year-old thought was his friend. And it's really sad. you know, I really wish our children, our people in general, found more value in themselves, because it's no way that you can murder somebody who looks like you over something so senseless. You know, like, I know that murders happen and, you know, for whatever reasons, but in our community, it's just so many, it's so much senseless violence. You know, when our people are committing senseless violence towards each other like that, it's because they don't value each other. Excuse me, y'all. They don't value themselves. They don't love themselves. That's why they can't see value in somebody who looks like them. So, that's what I was saying. I just wish our people valued each other or valued themselves more, so then they can see value in people who look like them. Because that was a senseless act of violence. And I won't go into too much detail, but the way they killed that baby was just, it was bad. It was tragic. So, ooh, yes, excuse me. Let me give me something to drink, y'all. All right, I'm back. So let me tell y'all why I thought about, like, his story inspired me to really want to start talking about more, bringing more awareness to things that goes on in the community. Because I don't know if you guys remember, but I think her name was Kanika Jenkins in Chicago. She ended up, she was in a hotel with some friends, and she ended up being found in the freezer. I mean, at the age of 15, I resonate with this so much, because at the age of 15, I went through something with some people who I thought was my friends as well. And I don't know if anybody who's listening to this has a story to tell or can relate to what I'm about to say, but I'm going to share my story, my truth. And when I was 15 years old, I was with some friends. And every weekend I would go, because my parents had moved us from Chicago. So every weekend I would go catch the train to Chicago and be around some of my friends. You know, I would stay at my grandfather's house, and I would be at my friend's house, you know, hanging out with them. So when I got to my grandfather's house, you know, I was talking to my friends on the phone or whatever, and I was trying to go by them, you know, and they were giving me the directions to get to where they were at. And I was like, okay. So one of the girls who I was friends with, who I was really, really friends with, had you know, I guess she was jealous because it was this guy who liked it, who she liked it, but I guess he liked me, and I didn't even know he liked me. I wasn't even thinking about him. I didn't like him, but I guess you know how girls get to talking amongst themselves, and I guess I was the outsider when it came to those two. So they had plotted in their mind that they were going to give me the wrong directions to get to where they was at, and so I can be lost in Chicago, of all places, at 15 years old. Yeah. You know, and just to think about what could have happened to me if somebody, it was my friend, or my so-called friend who I grew up with, her aunt had stopped me from going by them, because she was like, they're not giving you the right directions, you know, because I was telling her I was about to go over there by them or whatever, and she was like, nah, that's not right. And so I guess she had talked to somebody who had overheard them plotting against me. And however the story went, however she found out that they was trying to set me up, she told me and saved my fucking life, really. And just know that people can do something so cold and heartless because they're jealous. And how many people who didn't have that person to overhear something or to, you know, come clean and say no, like, don't do that, don't go with them, or don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just never know. And I mean, since that day, since I found that, I never hung with them no more. I never tried to go be around them no more, because I don't know what the fuck they would have did to me on another occasion, you know what I'm saying? And then now that I'm older, and I think, and I see all the stuff going on now with children being harmed by their friends, it really makes me look at life like our young people is heartless for real. And this ain't nothing that just started. This was going on in the 90s. This was going on in the 90s and the early 2000s. They were setting people up, because that's when I was getting set up. So, yeah. I'm sorry. That was a little long-winded. I'm sorry, y'all, but I had to share that. So, I hope I didn't tax too much of y'all time with that story. But somebody needed to hear it. That's why the ancestors put it on my heart to share it. And, yeah. So, last time I was here with you guys, we were talking about we were doing a Black Love Code segment. And we were talking about being a single parent and dating. So now that everybody is healed, right? Everybody is healed. The kids is good. You know, you over your baby daddy. You know, you ain't you ain't trying to get payback at them. You know, you ain't on the rebound now. So now you're trying to find prospective men that you might be interested in dating. Or you have prospective men that you're interested in dating. And, you know, is this one that you really, really like? Because he really, really looks good. And, you know, he got his stuff together. He's working, got his own place, nice car. You know, and he's funny. He makes you laugh or whatever, you know, right? But, ladies, let me tell you about that guy right there. You got to be careful of him, because he got his stuff together. He look good. He got, you know, he got his own money, whatever. You ain't the only person that's looking at him. And women outnumber men. And so men are really, you know, picking and choosing right now. But if you want to pick and choose, then you have to be aware of the signs. So, when you are interested in a man, when you're interested in a man and looking at a potentially dating somebody, and you're looking for something serious and not just sex, which most single moms who do have children, you know, especially if you're older, you're looking for something serious, something stable, because you don't want to have different men in and out from around your children. So you're looking for somebody that you can build with and eventually get married. You know, marriage should always be the end goal. So if that's your mindset, then you have to be looking at certain things, like, you know, looking for the signs. Is he trying to build something, or is he just trying to get some ass, right? How can you tell? How can you tell if he's serious or if he just wants some ass? So let me tell you some things that, from my personal experience, things I've observed. I did a poll on social media as well in one of my ladies' groups. And everybody pretty much says the same thing. Like, you know, if a guy only shows interest is like in your body, if he's not trying to put in effort to spend time with you, or if he, like, when he texts you or whatever, or if you're the first person that texts and he's not texting you as much, Or if he does text you, he's texting you about sexual stuff, and y'all not even on that level yet. He's only interested in getting in your drawers. If, like, he's talking about how sexy you are and trying to figure out how you are in bed, he's only interested in sex. He's not interested in you. A man who is interested in you will ask you questions, personal questions, about yourself, about your family, about your background, like, because he want to know where you come from. He don't want to know what he's getting involved with. He's going to show interest in your kids. Even if he doesn't meet your kids right away, he's still going to ask about your children when he talks to you on the phone or when he see you. He's going to ask you, like, you know, he's going to be trying to see that you're over your baby daddy or and that there's no other man in the picture. And the reason why he's asking these questions is because he wants to see if he wants to take on whatever you're bringing into his life. A man who is not serious about you is not going to care about none of that stuff because he's just there to get to smash and go. So he doesn't ask those questions because, you know, he don't have no intentions on dealing with you permanently anyway. Do not be fooled, sis. Do not be fooled. I don't care. Ain't no, ain't no, like, if, ands, or maybes. Ain't no exceptions or none of that. Like, if he's not interested in your life, he's not interested in you. He's not interested in building. Right, so beware of those guys. Beware, stay away from him. Run, and you cannot change him. You cannot change him. You cannot change him. And if you stick around, trust me, he's gonna do. He's gonna play. He's gonna lie. He's gonna cheat. He's gonna deceive. He's gonna do whatever. If he have sex with you and he sticks around, it's because he wanted to keep getting some ass and got ass on call. A man, I'm sorry to say this, ladies, but if a man's going to fuck if a woman let him fuck, it doesn't matter if he want to build with her or not. That's why you have people that's in relationships and not married and they've been together for 10 years. Because he got, but he's a hoe though. He's out here playing the field and doing what he wants to do. I'm sorry, I kind of went off topic, but these are real facts. I'm sorry, I witnessed this. I've observed it on multiple occasions with multitudes of people, as well as, like I said, I did a survey in one of my groups. This is not made up. So, yeah, and I'm sure that somebody who's listening to this right now probably nodding their head like, yeah, you're right. So, but you can't change him. And if you stay with him, he's going, by the time he is ready to change, because that's the only time a man changes is when he's ready to change, he ain't going to respect you. And it's probably been too much stuff that went on between y'all that you might not even want to be with him. Because I know, like, with me personally, if somebody does too much stuff to me, I can't deal with hurt, pain, and bad memories. I don't know. I just like all good shit, all good memories. But that's just me. So we're going to move on from that. And just speaking of, you know, marriage and men and... Hold on, y'all. My baby is looking for him pacifier because him not laying on him mommy. But, speaking of men in marriage and, you know, now we're going to talk about breaking up again because I'm going to segue into this story that happened on the news. No, I don't even want to talk about that. I don't even want to talk about that because really, I don't want to talk about that. So, no, we're not going to talk about that. Right? So, who all seen the Billboard Music Awards the other night? What was y'all thoughts? I don't know. It's always some fuckery and some coonery going on. Like, shout out to Janet Jackson for being the first indigenous melanated black woman to receive the Icon Award. Kudos to you, sis. Like, that's big. That's major. For all the accomplishments that she's had, you know, for all the hard work that she's put it in, I don't want to take anything away from that sister. Like, she's a legend. Like, I don't want to take anything away from her. And, you know, at that Super Bowl thing when they, Justin Timberlake, put her titty out, they blackballed her. You know, they didn't do shit to him, but they blackballed her because he pulled extra fabric away from what they were supposed to be from her costume. So anyways, so she was blackballed for a while, and you know, she had her little ups and downs and whatever. But for her to come back and get that award was big. So I shout out to her. But her speech, her performance was off to me. Like, and you know, with me being woke, y'all know I'm woke. Anybody that's listening, I'm woke. If y'all don't know me, I'm woke. I'm woke as fuck. I'm conscious. I'm enlightened. I'm all that good shit that people love to hate, right? So, but I don't know, something was just off. And I'm gonna elaborate on that in a minute. So, not only did Janet perform and got that award, they also had Salt and Pepper there, which was cool. They performed with En Vogue, which was dope. I love En Vogue. And then out comes Kelly Carson. Trying to out-sing En Vogue and shit. But you know, like, En Vogue can blow. Like, they got them pipes, right? Like, that's, man, they dope. But, I don't know, they, like, that whole Salt and Pepper performance, that was off too, right? So, I'm going to elaborate on that in a minute too. So, J-Lo performed, and I know, like, y'all like, what the fuck you talking about J-Lo for? She ain't no carbon being, nope, she not. But J-Lo is why I'm bringing up J-Lo, because J-Lo performed. She got a song with Cardi B and DJ Khaled. And the reason why I'm bringing her up, because of what I noticed in her performance, is what I would have loved to notice in Janet's performance and in Vogue and Salt and Pepper's performance and anybody indigenous who performs. I would love to notice this, what I noticed in J-Lo's performance, which was that every dancer that J-Lo had on that stage with her was her people. It was her people. I noticed this too much with our people, with our entertainers, our celebrities. That when they do a performance, they can never just have an all black or melanated indigenous nothing. Like, they always gotta have a non there. And I know that it's not them saying like, oh yeah, let me have a diversity. No, that's they PR people or whoever saying you need to have diversity. But how is it okay? And y'all stay with me on this, because y'all, you know, some of y'all just, y'all don't get it. Y'all just don't be getting it. See, when you woke, when you conscious, it's not even about race. I mean, it's about race, but it ain't about race. It ain't about anti. It ain't about being anti any fucking body. This is about being pro your people. This is about respect, having respect for the culture. This is about economic and generational wealth. Do you guys understand what generational wealth is and how you get it? With me seeing all J-Lo's performers looking like J-Lo, being her people, that's her way of filtering her money back into her people, which they know that they're going to go to their restaurants, their own their grocery stores, clothing stores, botanicals, or whatever, and they're going to filter that money through their community before they let it out about their community. This is how every other ethnicity of people, race of people, color of people that's non-indigenous, non-melanated, non-black do to generate wealth within their group. But our silly asses always want to make it. Our silly asses always want to make it about a hate thing. And it's not about hating anybody. Hey family, yes, I'm back. My baby had woke up and I had to tend to him. You know how that goes. Life of a mommy. So, before I left, we were talking about J-Lo's performance at the BBMAs, the Billboard Music Awards. And I was expounding on how she had all her people on stage with her. There was no other people outside of her people performing with her. And that was her way of recycling that money, keeping that money amongst them. And the reason why I brought that up, and like I was saying before, I got cut off the last time, is that, you know, when we speak on things like this, people will view it as hate or being anti. We're not hateful or anti anything, but we're rebuilding and we're restructuring our communities, and as well as our train of thought and the way we see things. And we have to start calling things as we see it. And if people cannot accept that or get on board with it, it's like middle finger to you, because it's like we are at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to other ethnicities. Nobody else is planning or building for our betterment, for our good. That is up to us. And so in order for us to say we're going to do good and we're going to be financially stable and we're going to pass build generational wealth and we're going to protect our heritage and our culture, we're going to perform, we're going to have all melanated beings on the stage with us. We're only going to have our people on there. We're only going to hire our children or, you know, people that look like us to perform. Now, people be like, well, that ain't right to do that. How come it's not right when if Beyonce can have an all-female band and nobody else sees a problem with her having an all-female band, or J-Lo can have all-male performers that's all Latinos or whatever, why can't indigenous people have diversity in their performances when they perform? Why not? Why can't they pay the people who look like them in order so that community, so that money can fund them back into the community? Why do they have to pay other people who don't look like them? I'm just saying. People think that being pro your people means anti everybody else, and it's not. It just means that
we're trying to do good just like everybody else. Let us focus on us right now. Y'all got y'all. Y'all have people that's looking out for y'all benefit. Let us have us. You know, just like with us, we're going to have the naysayers. We're going to have the people who are telling us that we're not right for the way we think or what we're trying to do, how we're trying to structure things. They have that too in their communities. For, you know, due to us having the quote-unquote Willie Lynch syndrome, they are met with less resistance when it comes to their people. We are met with much resistance when we try to exclude others from us building. They feel like there's something wrong with that. They be like, no, we can't just build for us. Like, we living in ghettos, we're being redlined, we having our culture and our identities and everything stolen from us, but we don't care about that because we need to make everybody else in the world feel comfortable. I don't get that. That don't make sense. And, you know, like I said before, I'm going to do another video. I mean, not another video, but probably a video too. A scripted one. I'm going to write a script. But what I'm talking about gentrification and culture appropriation. Because it's something that needs to really be touched on in our community. Our people is very, very deaf, blind, and dumb when it comes to things like of that. You know, they want to include everybody. And we need to have something that we need to respect our culture. We need to respect the work that our ancestors put in and hold something sacred to us. Like, we can't just be giving away our art like that. We can't do it. So, and that's what carbon culture is all about. It's about reserving the culture. Yep, and enlightening people on the culture. So, I was going to say something else. So, yeah, like I'm going to do a video on gentrification and cultural appropriation. And I guess that's it for now. But I'm glad, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I thank you guys for tuning in. I've truly lost my train of thought. I wanted to talk about something else. But maybe I just need to just go to bed. But I will be getting back with you guys tomorrow night for a short video or a short segment. And I hope you guys, like I said, I hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you guys for tuning in. Good night. Peace and love, family. So, I know I said I was going to go, but I wanted to touch on another performance that I seen last night on a Billboard Music Awards. And it was about a young indigenous lady named Normani. Now, she was previously a member of the Fifth Harmony group. And I love her story because she was the only indigenous woman in the group. And they went their separate ways. And I've been doing my research on her. And just, I like what she has to say. I like what she stands for. And hopefully, you know, she do good things in her career. So far, people are comparing her. People in the industry are comparing her to a young Beyonce. And I can see how people will think that she is a young Beyonce because she's very talented. You know, she can dance, she can sing, she's eye candy, she looks good, you know. So I can see why people are comparing her to a young Beyonce. And she feels like that's like a high standard to live up to, which it really is. And hopefully she can live up to that standard. But her performance was on point. I shared her picture on my social media platforms, Instagram at LalaBaby25. You can go check that out. Or on Facebook on my page, Bella Fairman, as well as my business page, Carbon Culture. You can go look on those pages and you can see her pictures on there. I mean, she slayed that dress. She carried herself with poise and dignity and elegance and class. And I just love the way she did that whole event. So I had to shout her out. I had to show her some love and salute her, as well as the young brother Khalid, who she did a duet with on her performance. Another indigenous brother. They just complimented each other so well with their voices. They're very talented, and I think they can do some real R&B together. You know, our music has went totally left field so far, and hopefully, you know, the next generation can bring it back. I know, like, when you see some of these other mumble rappers or some people, non-indigenous people, doing our culture, you know, dipping into our music and trying to steal our culture, it doesn't sound like our music is gonna, get back to what it was. But, you know, that's why we have to take our culture back. And that's why we have to respect it and make other people respect it. And I don't acknowledge anybody who is not, I just don't acknowledge people who are not of the culture as our artists. They're not. They're vultures. They're culture appropriating. So anyways, I didn't want to talk about that. I'll talk about that in another episode. But I'm going to play the sister's song that she did with Khalid, a little snippet of it at the end of this. I hope you guys enjoy it. And, you know, if you go on my social media to like her pics, please, please leave a comment and let me know what you think of the song and her. So, in this episode. So, thank you guys for listening. And I'm going to bed for real this time. Good night. You guys enjoy your work day, because you guys are going to be going to work. I'm going to be going to bed.